For the vast majority of people in our region, life went on more or less as normal after the wind-driven fires of September. For the thousands of people who lost homes or businesses in the fires, it's going to take a while, a long while. Government agencies at several levels are working to restore the burned areas. Those include the Federal Emergency Management Agency. FEMA arrived soon after the fires and will stick around in the region for many months ahead. We check in from time to time with FEMA to get updates on the activities. Once again, joining us, Jaciel Olivero-Melo, FEMA Media Relations Specialist. Jaciel, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff. Good morning, and thank you for having us one more time.
Always a pleasure.
Warm greetings for you.
Warm greetings to you as well. There'll be many more times, I'm sure. So if you could give us sort of a momentary update where things stand in Oregon, Jaciel.
Yes, we are talking about a direct temporary housing program. Right now, there has been 68 families that have been licensed for temporary housing under the FEMA Direct Temporary Housing Mission. FEMA is licensed in families in commercial parks where we are contracting for available paths and leasing an area of an estate park in which to place temporary housing units. In Marion and Linn counties, construction of a new site in Mill City for the placement of FEMA temporary housing units began in December 30th. The site will have paths for up to 16 temporary housing units, which will be enough to provide housing units to for all of the eligible survivors in Linn and Marion counties. In Lincoln, it's 22 families who are eligible for, one family in Linn and 12 in Marion County. So this number will be available. This number of units will be more than enough for people who are actually qualify for this kind of assistance. Currently, there is 244 survivor families that are approved to receive FEMA direct temporary housing in the four eligible counties, which are Jackson, Lincoln, Linn, and Marion. It's interesting how the number of qualified families has fallen, as many households that qualify for this assistance have located alternate temporary or permanent housing on their own. Actually, FEMA has identified sites in Lincoln County on which to build sites to place temporary housing units and will be seeking and leasing shortly. FEMA also is identifying sites in Jackson County for additional sites, Jeff.
Now, you mentioned, is it just 244 families eligible in Jackson, Linn, Lincoln, and Marion counties?
Yes.
Okay. Is that a surprisingly low number, given the, particularly in Jackson County alone, where there are almost 2,400 units destroyed?
Yes. It's surprisingly, remember that this kind of assistance is just for qualified survivors. As soon as they go through the process of registration, they will go in to notify those who suffer and were affected by the wildfire if they were eligible or not.
So FEMA procedures apparently have changed a bit with the pandemic. I mean, you did not travel to Oregon yourself. Is that right?
Yes, they're going to be shortly. They're going to be there shortly.
Oh, really? Okay. All right. But I noted the last couple of people we've talked to at FEMA said that they had actually remained on the East Coast in the D.C. area.
Yes, but we have people deployed over there as well. We have people in the area.
All right. So obviously, people who physically need, need to do things end up coming to Oregon, but the rest can, if they don't need to be here, they can stay behind or have.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I have not thought to ask so far. Your being bilingual obviously helps. What are the numbers you have on the percentage of fire victims who are primarily Spanish speakers?
Well, it's been a high percentage. It's due because of the we have a lot of Hispanic community, especially in Jackson County and the area of Medford, and there is plenty of people who have been helped by FEMA and by nonprofit organizations as well.
Okay. Any other languages you're dealing with too?
Right now it's Spanish and English, but we are working with more languages as well. But this is my area, Spanish and English, but we are also assisting people who speak any other languages.
Mm-hmm. Jaciel, language aside, what has been the biggest challenge in getting relief to people who need it in the Oregon fires?
Can you repeat the question for me one more time, Jeff?
Other than language, what has been the biggest challenge in getting the relief to people who need it in Oregon?
Well, we've been working to assist every survivor who needs help. And I can say that sometimes people have challenges in the application process. Let's say sometimes people can actually fill out the form and leave any kind of maybe a number, you know, discrepancy in addresses or some kind of, you know, kind of issues in filling out and being precise and filling the application process, the application form. Once you have your application form that matches your ID, the process will be easier for people, and especially whenever they had to do an inspection in the site, whenever they had to go through the process and call and be in communication with the female representative, also keeping up to date with information. We always encourage people, if your situation changes, if you have to move from one site to the other one, because remember, Jeff, there is so many people displaced and their situation can change, right? And if they don't notify the agency that they have changed the address or the situation has changed, that may delay the process because they may be sending communication out and they cannot find maybe people because they move from one side to the other one. That's why we always encourage people, please keep up to date and notify the agency with any changes that you may be experiencing. The helpline is there from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day where people can communicate and notify what is going on with them. Actually, you know, if they have a registration in process, just call the 1-800-621-3362. And for those who use a hearing device, they can call 1-800-462-7585 so they can notify with any changes to the agency and not delay the registration process or the eligibility process.
All right. So easier to make the change, you're saying, if they have moved to do that through the phone?
Yes, they can do it through the phone, and, you know, however they feel comfortable. They can usually go to their website, www.disasterassistant.gov, and they can make any changes there. The website is very user-friendly, and it's very easy to navigate to.
All right, but in order to change their information on the website, do they have to get a username and a password and all that sort of thing?
They have a registration number in the form that they actually fill out, the initial form, where they is like a 9 digits. They can actually pull the 9 digits registration number, and they can update it to theirs.
Jaciel Olivero Melo is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a media relations specialist with FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. We're talking about relief after the Oregon fires, which obviously will go on for quite a while into the future after the fires just after Labor Day in Oregon. And of course, California was affected as well. But we're talking primarily Oregon with Jaciel. You can join our conversation here. Your questions, your comments, welcome at 800-838-3760. Or by email at jx@jeffnet.org. Now that I've given our phone number, can you give the helpline number again for people whose hearing is okay, slowly?
Of course. It's 1-800-621-3362.
3362.
621-3362. Okay. Exactly. And for those who have hearing impairment, they can call 1-800-462-7585. Yes.
Okay, 800. So this is for the hearing impaired. 800-462-7585.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. All right, so good. I'm glad we got that. I'll mention that a couple more times. So again, for people with no hearing impairment, 800-621-3362 is the FEMA number. How big an issue does that get to be, what you were talking about, Jaciel, though? Because I can understand people, you know, they'll find one temporary place to live. Okay, that's not working. Let's move on to a different place. And so there's a challenge in FEMA catching up with the people to let them know that there's stuff available for them.
Yeah, that's why we encourage people to keep in touch with the agency, because if they are having challenges finding a place where to live or a place to rent, they can always get information and resources, as you mentioned, are still available for them. For example, flood, follow fires, and they have, you know, assistance in that particular case. They have free crisis counseling. They have disaster legal assistance, which is very important for people. If they want to appeal, you know, a determination letter, where they can actually find this and ask a lot of questions there by dialing 1-800-452-7636. They also have assistance in disaster case management. They have a 211 info where nonprofit funded by state and municipal contract foundations can help them go through the process of maybe I need this kind of help and I am not finding anything, as you mentioned before, I may have to move and I haven't find any housing where I can move, you know, in the meantime, my registration process go through and all of those things, they can actually dial the helpline and call and ask the question, this is what the challenges that I am presenting actually, and I need some help.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned that it's you need to make sure that the application matches up with the person's ID. What is the ID required to get help from FEMA?
Well, it's just your personal information. Sometimes people may defer. Sometimes you may have two last names, for example. And your ID may cite only one. And you, because, you know, this is the way that your family call you out. Maybe they call you, hi, Jeff Giovanni. And then in your ID, you have maybe Jeff Garrett. And then you are putting your both names, for example, in your ID. And that can have in your application form, and that may, you know, differ by the time they match your information, your personal information in the database with your application. So it is important with people, for example, if you are living in a house right now because it's a temporary housing that you are having, because the one that you have is the one that you are claiming damages for, but you may put the same address. That is also a discrepancy over there because they ask you, and the application is very user-friendly. The registration is easy to fill out, but they may ask you, what is your current address? And what was your address when, the disaster strike? And sometimes people may be confused, and they may cite the same addresses. For example, if they have a house that was burnt out and they say, okay, I'm currently living here, so it doesn't match because you are claiming damages for that property that you are not actually living there because there is nothing there anymore. So it is important for people to go through the application, to read it through, and just to make sure that every information that they are putting in there is correct and matches their personal information in the ID as well.
Now, as far as ownership goes, I mean, renters have been able to apply for FEMA, right? They don't have to be owners of their own homes or at least owners of their mobile homes or anything like that.
Yes, that's correct, yes.
Okay. Now, are you concerned that there are some people who simply haven't applied or simply invisible to FEMA because they are living with family or just sharing a home with someone and not really necessarily looking that hard at the moment for another place to live?
Well, people cases are very individual. This is a very individual process. Everybody have a choice. You know, if you have damages and if you live among the designated county, and if you have damages, you can apply for FEMA assistance. Now, once a deadline passes, it is so hard for people to apply. At least they have a reason that they can apply. This is the reason why I can't apply. I am applying late, and that's going to be up to the agency to revise the letter or to revise the reasons why they didn't apply on time for them to continue the process of registration. So, and that's why we encourage people, please just watch every news that you have, local news, local radio, and get informed about the updates and what is happening with the agency and what are the changes that you have to be aware of for you to apply on time, for you to actually ask for help or ask any kind of questions that you have. Because one thing that actually happened, Jeff, is just people hear whatever is happening with a neighbor. For example, if I have a situation and I was really close to you or next to you when the disaster strike, your situation and my situation might be different for many different reasons. For example, if your house was burnt out and you have a policy, insurance policy that covers you, and I don't have a policy, so our cases might be different. So sometimes people listen to another person's situation and they put themselves in the position without knowing that they have a different policy, for example, and they have a different situation. So it is very important for people to get informed, to call to the agency, and to find the right resources so they can actually be informed from FEMA and ask the questions that they need to ask before they start, you know, taking in consideration people's situations, because this is very unique. Everybody, even though they were struck by the same disaster, your situation, your household may be different than another person. So it's important to get informed. It's important to get the resources that is still available for people who are affected by these wildfires and these straight line winds. And by calling the helpline, they can get informed.
The helpline again is 800-621-3362, 800-621-3362. For people with hearing-impaired devices, it's 800-462-7585, 800-462-7585. Website, of course, disasterassistance.gov. Couldn't be clearer than that, disasterassistance.gov. Our guest is Jaciel Olivera-Mello, our media relations specialist with FEMA. You know, I'm curious, since the designations go county by county, and for example, there's a fair amount of synergy between Jackson and Josephine counties. I can see how somebody burned out in Jackson County might seek new housing in Josephine County. Does the aid follow them, or does it stop at the county line?
Well, because this is a matter of counties and eligibilities, according to the disaster declaration, actually, these four counties are the ones that are eligible for this particular direct temporary housing, which are Jackson, Lincoln, Marion, and Lynn. Now, I'm fairly sure there is a lot of community resources and state resources to help those counties as well.
All right, so but not federal. Federal stuff, you know, basically if you're burned out in Jackson County, you'll find your new place through FEMA in Jackson County.
Yeah.
Okay. So the cleanup, I noticed, the Alameda Fire heavy debris cleanup is underway, or at least is getting close to it. Is this? Do you have any knowledge of that?
Yes. For the cleanup, that was based in two phases, a total of 2,285 parcels of land have been cleared of hazardous waste by the Environmental Protection Agency in Clackamas, Douglas, Jackson, Klamath, Lane, Lynn, Lincoln, and Marion counties. And also, this kind of EPA also conducted bank stabilization, erosion control, fire debris removal for 226 riverfront properties along seven vulnerable rivers. So this process of cleanup is in two phases. The step two, which is a step one and a step two, is ready. It's just they started. It's the removal of ash and debris. And this process is working closely with local governments to determine cleanup priority for each area. And this process, Jeff, it's approximately, you know, it's just an estimate in how long it's going to take, between 6 and 18 months to complete statewide.
6 and 18 months. Okay, so it is a while just to get the heavy debris. We're talking to the actual housing pieces and the cars and all of that stuff is going to take 6 to 18 months out. Now, I noticed, Jaciel, that as of the December 30th release, there were 47 families being housed in the temporary FEMA structures in Jackson County. Has that increased at all, and how much higher can it go?
Yes. Actually, there are 68 up now that has been licensing in. There is 244 survivor applicants that are actually approved for housing. Mm-hmm. And as soon as the agency keep leasing lands and you know, doing the process of construction, that number is going to go up or can be lower as, you know, as soon as families find, you know, have located alternative temporary or permanent housing on their own, because this kind of help is just for people who need the housing, right?
Okay.
But there is people who can find permanent housing and the status can change. That's what it's important to keep in touch with the agency and just say, okay, my situation changed and this is the situation that I'm having right now.
Right. Let me give the number again before we go. 800-621-3362. Jaciel Olivera-Mello, a media relations specialist with FEMA. Thank you once again for joining us. We'll talk to you again soon.